Welcome to the Hammer and Fire podcast. I am Nicholas Kesterson.
And this is Chaplain Ted.
And today we have a special guest with us, Brother Steve. And I'll let him kind of introduce himself and tell us a little about himself.
Well, I'm Steve, and I'm basically newly born. I mean, you know, newly reborn. It's taken me a long time to get to where I'm at, and I'm grateful for that. I've got a whole life story of making the wrong turns and doing the wrong things.
Like Brother Tom, you got experience too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Not as much professional experience, but well, experience in what we're going to talk about. But today, what we want to talk about is addiction. And addiction is one of those sins, one of those things that drags us away from God. And again, we're talking about stumbling blocks, and we've talked about a couple so far, pride and anxiety and depression. And, you know, it's only fitting to move on and talk about addiction, because addiction is one of those big stumbling blocks that a lot of people have. And I want to specify here too, we're not just talking about addiction as in the big three, you know, that everybody thinks about, as in drugs, alcohol, and gambling. Yes, those are all addictions. And a lot of people still struggle with those addictions. But that's not the only addictions that you can have. There's addictions in all aspects, of sin and things like that. So there's so many different sins that you can be addicted to. Again, you can be addicted to the one I think of personally, and this, you know, attacks me, is gluttony. You know, it's one that I think of. Another one you could be addicted to, I mean, if it's something that is affecting your walk with God, I mean, watching TV can be an addiction, or social media can be an addiction. So we want to specify that we're not just talking about those main addictions that a lot of people, when you say you have an addiction, that's what they're thinking of. Because I think everybody needs to, and as Christians specifically, as we're trying to get closer to God, has to think about our life in a way, are there any addictions in my life? Is there anything that is getting in my way of truly following God? Now, to start this off, again, every week we have about five or six questions we go through. But the first one is, a lot of times we like to, you know, tell you, okay, what is this? But in this case, most people know, again, what addiction is. What we want to talk about is what causes addiction. So what is something that in our life that causes us to be addicted to something? You know, what is the purpose? And again, we're specifically going to talk about alcohol and drugs and some other things. So why are we drawn to those addictions so much? What purpose do they have? And I'm going to go ahead and let Ted talk about, you know, what causes addictions, and personally with him, with his addictions, what caused them to, you know, get a hold on him, why he was drawn to.
Okay, let me read these notes, and then I'll go into my past addiction. Some individuals may be more prone to addiction due to their genetic makeup, while others may turn to addictive substances or behaviors as means of coping with stress or trauma. So mine, we've talked about before, is mine was alcohol. Later, I didn't realize it back then that I knew I had a problem. I just didn't want to face it. It was my coping mechanism with the stress from my PTSD and my life. I was trying to find happiness, find joy, find peace. But in essence, I was actually hurting the people around me, like my wife. And it got to such a point that it got so bad. And like I said in the last podcast, we won't talk about how far my alcohol got, but I can tell you I lost a whole bunch of weight. And I came to that point that I just said that, you know, Lord, I cannot do this on my own. I've tried this, cope with this for almost 30 years. I can't do it anymore. And, you know, we talk about that mine was a divine healing. You know, like Brother Nick said, I was one of the lucky ones. I know that when I woke up, when I asked and I told him that I couldn't do it, he knew that I had given up and I was letting him take control of my life. He knew that I would come to that point that I was going to make him a priority in my life, and that I would serve him. Now, I've realized that you got to be careful when you say, Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do, because he's going to choose what he wants you to do for his service. He put the burden of souls on me, saving souls and helping others. And you got to be devoted to him. You cannot let anything else take control of your life. And that's why I'm so happy that me and my wife, as they say, we're equally yoked. We have put God in the middle of our marriage. He is the priority. And we both have a burden for souls and helping other people. And with our experiences in life, with addictions and traumas and stresses, you know, we can relate better with people. We can communicate with them a lot easier. So I wish everybody could get that divine healing that the Lord can give.
Yeah. So, I think Ted hit on a couple really good things there. With the causes of addiction, and I look at it in, you know, two ways. That addiction, what causes addiction, stems from two different things. It's the trying to fill a hole. A lot of times there's something in your life that is, you know, affecting you, or something, there's a hole in you that, you know, again, as I said before, it's a Jesus-sized hole that we're trying to fill with anything possible. You know, we're trying to fill something. You know, we're lost. We don't know what we need, and we're trying to fill something. And so addiction tries to fill that hole. The other way that a lot of people use addiction for is a coping mechanism or a self-medication side of it. Instead of actually fixing the problem, you know, a lot of times you hear a lot about, you know, veterans dealing with problems with PTSD, and their solution is alcohol. You know, the pride gets in the way, and instead of actually seeking help, they, you know, try to fix it with alcohol or drugs or things like that. And it's one of those things. It's usually one of those two things. You're either trying to cope with a problem that you don't want to seek help for, or you're trying to fill a hole that, you know, you're missing, you know, that you're not happy. You know, your life is not what you want it to be. And those usually the two, and anything stem from those. And like you said also, about the fact of, you know, some people are predisposed to it, and that is a fact, and, you know, and it makes it harder. But again, you can't let that be an excuse either, though. You know, you can't let it be, okay, well, my dad was a drunk, my grandpa was a drunk, my great-grandpa was a drunk, so I just, there's nothing I can do about it. I can't get out of this. You know, I'm just going to be a drunk. Anybody has the ability with Jesus and with God to turn around their life and be changed from what your generational habits may have been.
Break the cycle.
Yeah. Now, Steve, I'll let you go ahead and answer that question as well. What caused addiction possibly for you? What caused addiction? You know, what do you think is the main causes of addiction?
Well, for me, it was self-confidence, you know, and being a little shy. I was, when I was in school and I was younger, I wore glasses, had big ears, you know, so I was the backside of a lot of jokes. as I got older, you know, I wanted to fit in. I didn't want that anymore. So, you know, and then I did a little research, you know, about possible reasons for addiction or, you know, causes of, and it's like you said, genetic predisposition, environmental factors influence addiction, as like stress and trauma and peer pressure. I did have a lot of peer pressure. You know, it says here a lack of supervision or support in early years. Well, I had good parental supervision and support, but that still didn't change things, you know. I mean, struggles at school, poor academic performance, poor social skills, which I had, and low self-esteem, low self-control and impulsivity. And that's a fact for me. Mm-hmm. I've got no willpower and no self-control. You know, I had a cousin, bless his heart. He died of a heroin overdose when I was fairly young. So, you know, I was in school getting all the propaganda. You know, you smoke a joint, you're going to be a heroin user. And I saw that in real life. And I didn't want that. But, so I drank. You know, it'll be going, you know, drinking just as bad. But, you know, it's just everybody is different. The causes of addiction are different with everybody. But a lot of time, most of the time, we think they're different, but we're not. I found out the hard way. There was a time in my life when I was using and drinking so much, and my mind was scattered, and I was ready to stop it all. And I was sitting there in my bedroom with the door locked, and I had the 38, and it was, you know, double action with all chambers full. So there was no way I was going to mess up. And I did hear a voice. You know, God told me, he says, think about this. And he showed me my mom. And he said, what do you think she would think? And that just rolled out. Mm-hmm. And it was just a day or two before that my brother came to me and he says, why don't you try this group I go to? It's called Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm not trying to advocate anything, but for me, I was scared to death. And I said, no, don't need it, don't want it, don't, you know. But it really did turn into something that helped me along the way. So I put my feet on the right path and got scared the heck out of me, you know, because I could just see my mom bawling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and the mess I made when you blow your head off, I mean, you make a mess.
Yeah. And again, and a lot of, again, that's kind of the untold side of addiction a lot of the time is people don't think about it is addictions. There's a lot of addictions that end up with a different story there, that a different story that there wasn't, you know, they went through with it, you know. Yeah. And there's a lot of them that are like that. And, you know, it's so hard, you know, and people are going through so much. And, you know, part of the reason we do this, you know, is we want to reach people and help them in situations with more than just, you know, right. Yes, prayer is important, but we want to help you through our experiences and what we go through. Mm-hmm. Now, like always, this podcast would not be complete without saying, what does the Bible warn about with addiction? So what does the scripture say? And what, you know, what does it say about addiction? Now, again, you're not going to go through your Bible and find a word that says, thou shalt not be addicted. But
There's a lot of scriptures that talk about addiction and talk about, people in the Bible that were dealing with addictions. And you can see it throughout. I mean, Noah was a drunk. There was quite a few other people that were drunks that did, you know, that struggled with addictions. And we see their effects on them. Specifically with Noah, we see what happened. He ended up getting drunk, and then his kids had a wrong answer to what he was doing, and it just kind of led to a whole problem. So again, there's a great example there of what addiction can lead to. You know, how does addiction affect relationships? But me personally, there was two scriptures that really stood out to me. And the first one is 1 Corinthians 10, 13. And it says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." And again, I think a lot of people do kind of take that scripture out of context and try to say that, oh, God's not going to tempt you beyond your ability. And it doesn't specifically say that. It says he's not going to tempt you beyond your ability. But if it does come and you do have a temptation that feels like it's beyond, and a lot of times, great example is when we were coaching football, there was a trainer that he was a Navy SEAL, and this guy was training for like a triathlon, and he wanted this Navy SEAL to train him because, you know, they can go through all this training. And the biggest thing that he said that he learned from it was the fact that when you want to quit, your body is at about 40%. You know, you still have 60% left in you when your body tells you to quit. So when you're going through a temptation, it's the same way. Our brains hate to be uncomfortable. They're just like anything else. They want to do the least amount of work possible to get you throughout the day. And when you push it, it's going to try to get you to stop. The same thing works with, you know, with temptation. You think that you've gotten too much, you can't bear it. But if you're going through it, this scripture right there tells you that God believes that you can go through it. And if, again, he's going to give you a way out, that when you're going through it, and me personally, I've experienced this with my addiction when talking about trying to, you know, being in a situation, an addiction, you know, if it be drinking or something like that, and giving you a way out, you know, and you see it, you look back, and me personally, I look back on it now and I'm like, there it is. You know, there it was. God gave me the option. Now, when I was in the moment, was I smart enough to notice it? No. In most cases, I kept going. And it was one of those things that, like, I look back and we all would say hindsight's 20/20. And it's so true that there was God in the midst of it, trying to give me a way out. And I was too dumb to take it, you know. And it's, as I've gotten closer to God, I start noticing it more now in the moment. And I'm like, okay, this is God talking to me. You know, I need to stop. You know, I need to, you know, this temptation, he's giving me a way out. I need to take it. And then the other scripture that I had was specifically talking about alcohol, and it was Proverbs 21. And it says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." And again, Proverbs, the whole book tells us on the difference between the wise and the unwise, or the not wise. And again, this is a perfect example that, you know, what these things do to you. And I think it's a perfect example of, this is something that was written, Proverbs was even further than 2,000 years. It was probably closer to 3,000 years ago that it was written, that it was something that they were still dealing with back then, that wine was a mocker. You know, it was not as alcoholic as what, you know, strong drink was. And so, you know, again, we think about it, you get real tipsy, they get kind of joking, and it makes you look dumb, really. People, that's what a lot of people enjoy about being around, you know, drunk people, is because they're funny. And again, right here it is. Oh, wine is a mocker. It makes you the laughing stock. It makes people mock you. And then it says strong drink is raging. I mean, all three of us here can probably talk about times that, you know, you've been around people, or you yourself has drank strong drink, as whiskey or something like that, and you became a just absolute angry, just mad at people, hurting people, you know, with strong drink. So, you know, again, this shows us that you might think this problem just deals with you, or you know, you might not think that there is the Bible has anything to offer, but I promise you it does. They've dealt with this for thousands of years, and it shows you here the importance of not letting it take hold or be deceived by it. Now I'll go ahead and I'll let Brother Steve go ahead and talk about the scriptures that he chose.
Well, James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, you know, that's going back to where God has given us a way out. And, you know, of course, I didn't see it either. I was a raving lunatic a lot of the time. And Proverbs 23:32, at the last, it biteth like a serpent, and it stingeth like an adder, which is very true. And, you know, the way it felt for me. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the body. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, again, that goes back to being open to God.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was out there, that was the last thing on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to fit in and have a good time and be the life of the party. You know?
A lot of times that's what it is with addiction, you know, with some addictions, and that's what some people do, you know. Again, that goes back to filling that hole. Like you're trying to fill that emptiness, and you think that filling it with being the life of the party or being high or being drunk, you know, allows you to fill that hole. And it might feel good because, again, it's all science. I love science, you know, in the aspect of using it for Christ, you know, and that, you know, it chemicals in your brain release when you're on a high. You have these, you know, endorphins and all that, and it's you feel great. But then as soon as it's gone, as soon as it's out of your system, that hole's still there. You didn't feel it. You know, you just kind of, well, it's kind of like a bucket with a hole in it. You know, you filled it for a second, but then there's a hole in your bucket and eventually drains out and it's empty again.
That's why I think about is that, you know, people, you know, get off work, run home, they got that liquor in the cabinet or in the refrigerator, and they'll drink that, you know, feel good. And then the next morning, you know, they go back to work and they're like, oh man, I just can't wait to get home and get that feeling again.
That was me. Well,
and so sometimes if you're having a stressful circumstance in your life, you know, you can't get home fast enough to get more of it.
That's right.
And all you're doing is you're self-medicating yourself.
Yeah, just plugging the hole for a few minutes.
Like you said, you're trying to fill that Jesus-sized hole.
Well, and again, too, with some people, especially when your addiction gets bad enough, we see it, you know, all the time, people that can't wait till they get home. So, I mean, they're on the job, you know, drinking, and that they start as soon as they wake up in the morning, and they drink until they pass out in the afternoon. And, you know, and it's one of those things that, and that's going to go into our next question, but I'm going to go ahead and let Ted talk about the scriptures that really spoke to him when it came to addiction.
So, mine is going to be Proverbs. It's kind of long, so bear with me. Proverbs 23, verses 29 through 35. So, who hath woe? Who hath so? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? who hath redness of eyes, they that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine, look not thy upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup. When it moveth itself aright, at the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Then eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When I shall awake, I will seek it yet again. So I want to read you the interpretations. Alcoholic beverages can cause a person to resist or step away from God's standards of a right and wrong by losing self-control and behaving immorally. Some people depend on alcoholic beverages in their effort to find relief, joy, and satisfaction. But these are things that are meant to be fulfilled by God and His purposes. God's word clearly teaches that in order to avoid the misery, trouble, and regret that come with the use of alcohol, those who desire to follow God and His plans should abstain or keep themselves from drinks that cause drunkenness and addiction. That spoke a lot to me.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Well, and it's one of those things that speaks to anybody that has been a true alcoholic. I mean, you look at it and you can see. Again, we look back at it now as being overcomers of that addiction. And say, you know, and see all the things that we were in the time. But it's hard sometimes when you're in that, you're still in that addiction to see what it's doing to you and what it's doing.
See it.
Yeah. And it's so hard to, and it, a lot of times it takes failed relationships and failure to finally wake you up enough. And for some people, they never find it. That they live
some
their
people,
whole life.
Some people will keep the addiction and sacrifice their family or their marriages.
Yeah.
That's when you really know you got a problem.
Yeah. And it should be a slap in the face to people. You know that, hey, when you're choosing your addiction over your family, something's wrong. I need to fix it. What's going on? And I know a lot of times you get these people that, you know, say, oh, I don't have a problem, or, you know, that, I don't really have a problem. They're just making it worse than it actually is.
And you know what? When you start saying that you don't have a problem, you probably have a problem.
Yeah, when you're using pretty much. Yep. You got to say you don't got a problem. Now, again, we kind of hit on this and I talked about it. Number three tells us, you know, is how can dependency on addiction pull us away from God? And we kind of have, all three of us have hit on it. But the thing that I focus on is when you are addicted to something, it consumes your thoughts. It's not something that just, oh, okay, I'm in the moment right now. You know, I feel it right now. I'm just thinking about it right now as I'm doing it. No, when it is an addiction, it's all that you think about. And, I mean, you look at those that are addicted to drugs and that people who have recovered will tell you, that when they woke up, they were thinking about it. When they, you know, all day long, they were thinking about how can I get high? How can I find this? How can I get this? And it consumes every bit of their thoughts. And so how do you have room in your life for God if all you're thinking about is your addiction? Yeah, and you can't. Yeah. If you have a true addiction, there's no room for God because that's all you can think about is how I can get to that next addiction. And then once a lot of times you're in that addiction, as alcohol and drugs is big ones, that you lose your inability to think about anything else. You know, you open yourself up to, you know, you're high, you're not thinking like you should, you're drunk, you're not thinking like you should.
And so it just consumes you, and there's no room for God. And again, a lot of times when you get into specifically drugs, alcohol can be one too, gambling can be one, when you're trying to find money to pay for your addiction, and you get to the point that you will do just about anything to get to that addiction, and you will spend whatever it takes, you'll do whatever it takes. You hear about it all the time, you know, people selling their bodies, people, you know, stealing stuff, just anything to get to that addiction. And it puts you, again, you're sinning. You know, you're all these sins are piling up and all these sins are happening. And again, there's no, God can't work through you if all you're doing is sinning constantly. And so when I think about, you know, that's what I think about when you're talking about a dependency on addiction, what it does for us. But again, this can be anything. I mean, again, a lot of times we harp on alcohol and drugs because it's so prevalent. But for some people, it can be, you know, I know people that, I'll just say this, coaching football or football in general, some people will put that part of their life ahead of everything else.
Right.
You know, they miss stuff all the time. They miss their kids' lives. They miss, you know, time with their family. They're willing to sacrifice, you know, their family to do, you know, to coach football or to, you know, to be part of football. And so anything, it doesn't have to be those big addictions. It can be anything.
That's correct. A lot of people go, you know, they lose their whole fortune and family because they're gambling mm-hmm. or because they're using, mm-hmm. Because they're drinking. You know, I've been there. I've seen it. Mm-hmm. I've seen it in other people. And I go, you know, that was me.
Yeah.
That was me.
Oh, well, Steve, go ahead and while you're talking, go ahead and tell us what your idea is on that. How can dependency on addiction pull us away from God?
Well, I found it made me walking in the world and getting as far away from God as a man can get. He was never even a thought. I wasn't a good person. All I thought about was, like you said earlier, was drugs and alcohol and the ways and means to get more. And that all changed a little bit because the group I was in told us to think of a higher power. I did choose to call it my higher power God. And it does help, but you've got to be aware of all of that. And I wasn't for years and years, even after a failed marriage. You know, I stopped using and I got clean and I did fine for, you know, 25 years. And then I had a drink or two and the thought of using goes through my head every day. You know, I am a recovering addict and alcoholic. I will never be cured. It will always be in the back of my head going, come on, man. You know?
And see, that's the part to hear that, you know, knowing that my experience, see, I don't even have that. It's just, and here's one thing, and not to mean to cut you off, but one thing that's, you know, amazing about it is that to this day, my wife can witness to it, is that I can't spell alcohol. I have to Google it. That's the truth. I cannot spell it.
Yeah, and, you know, and we were joking at the beginning, you know, our little pre-podcast, you know, discussion we were talking about, and I said, you know, and Ted, you know, you're lucky, you know, that
you are.
Because a lot of people, recovering addicts, that, you know, they sometimes they don't get that divine healing. And I think that, you know, and God knew that that's what you needed. And for some of us, God knows that, you know, it's
it's hard sometimes as those that struggle with it and still struggle with it. You know, it's hard to, you know, almost jealousy, you know, not really, but, you know, jealous that they got that. But we have to remember that God has a plan. You know, God is using that. You know, if we all had miraculous healings, then we wouldn't have anybody to help those that, you know, that needed that or struggling through that. And so, you know, I look at it that way, that the reason that God is allowing me to continue to struggle with it is because he has a plan. You know, he has, he knows that that's something that I need to overcome personally so that I can be a better Christian. And God looked at Ted and thought, you know, he didn't need that battle.
Suffered enough. Yeah. I would have drank to death. I was already on that way. I mean, I lost so much weight. Yeah. I had to get
when I was younger, it was the same way for me. Once I got clean and got away from it, you know, saying no, I don't need that today. Sometimes it was 5 minutes. Sometimes it was an hour. Sometimes it was every 30 seconds telling it no. But then it got to where, you know, I didn't think about it anymore.
Yeah.
And I did really well from it.
And a lot of times that's what happens. It's a stressor comes back into our lives, and you know, and it's hard, and you know, it's, you know, and again, that's always a struggle, and you know, and realizing, and a lot of people want to use that. Well, why does God allow Ted to be completely healed and then I still have to go through it? Mm-hmm. And again, I think it's, you got to realize that God has, he's looking at the situation. He knows what's going on. And this is one of my favorite verses that's in the Bible about temptation, is it tells us that we need to rejoice in trials and temptations because it is God. It's proof that God thinks you can go through it.
Right.
Because he's allowing you to have it. He's saying, you know, rejoice because you get to show your faith. You get to show that, you know, this is what God has allowed me to get through. I can overcome it, and not to be a prideful side of it, but I can overcome it through it with God, you know, and I can, you know, and it, we should be rejoicing in that. And sometimes we look at it as a negative thing, but we should be looking at it as a positive thing.
I don't know where I'm going with this, but I can't remember the preacher's name, an evangelist, but he was talking about, you know, God's plan. God's not working in the moment. God's working from the finish,
mm-hmm.
you know, or the, you know, the end, and working back.
So, yeah.
We don't know God's plan.
Yeah. And you know, if we could understand God's plans, it would probably, our little brains would probably blow up. I mean, we could, it reminds me of those movies that talk about that, you know, that talk about, you know, they say, I want to know all knowledge. And then, you know, they get endued with all knowledge and they kind of, their brain fries out. You know, I think the same thing, like if we could understand everything that God understood, I don't think we would be able to, I mean, we would just flatline, you know, immediately, you know. But going on to number four, and Ted and Steve have really answered that first one. What addictions have you dealt with? They've really talked about their addictions. I haven't really talked about mine because it's one that's hard to talk about. It's one that gets avoided a lot of the times. And I think we are hurting ourselves as Christians when we avoid this. And mine has been, you know, that terrible word that nobody likes to talk about, pornography, and, you know, and lust, and all that. And a lot of times that you look at the statistics of the percentage of people that look at it, the percentage of people that struggle with it. And a lot of times, and, you know, not to take anything away from women, because there's women that do it too, and they need to know, but it's a vastly majority of men that struggle with it. And it's something that, you know, I've wrestled with myself how much I wanted to talk about it, if I needed to talk about it.
But it's one of those things that I think as Christians, we don't realize when we don't talk about it, we are hurting those that are going through it. Because the reason I struggled so much with it was because I felt like I was alone. I felt like there was nobody else out there dealing with what I was dealing with, that there was nobody else out there struggling with it. And then to come back and have people tell me that, you know, oh, I was struggling with it. And I was thinking to myself, man, why did you say something? You know, why did you, I thought I was alone. You know, I thought, how do I talk about this with people? How do I approach this? And, you know, you hear about it on TV or on, you know, occasionally you'll hear about, you know, oh yeah, there's these support groups for, you know, for this. And, you know, and you're just like, ah, but nobody ever talks about it. You know, nobody in real life talks about it. You see it on TV, you see it on, you know, the internet, but you don't ever talk to somebody who's dealing with it. And, you know, and that's why I decided to bring it up, because it was my addiction and I still struggle with it on a daily basis. And I think a lot of times too, as we look at it, especially men that are not in a Christian walk, we get told it's normal, you know, oh, it's normal to want to look at that. It's normal to act that way. It's normal to have them thoughts. It's, you know, and you know, it's just a part of a growing man, you know, just that. And it's such a lie, because when you truly as Christians, and there's even Christians that struggle with it, and, you know, and not knocking anybody that's hiding it, you know, and not talking about it, you know, but man, talk about it, you know, talk about it with somebody if you're struggling with it, because holding it in is not helping you. It's not helping your walk, and it's definitely not helping your neighbor, you know.
You know, you find that you're not alone. You're not the only one that has that. And it's a revelation when you start to talk to other people and you get the feedback. Hey, yeah, I thought that. I've been there. And it makes a big difference. I use the narcotics thing because you know, that's where I learned this. But, you know, I'm not unique. There's hundreds of thousands of people that have felt exactly the same way and have gone through exactly the same walk. And, you know, some of them make it out and some of them don't, but a lot of time, most of the time, it's because you haven't found somebody you can relate with and talk through it and work through it. And you know, that's my experience.
Well, that's been my biggest struggle with mine. It's not having anybody to talk to about it. You know, and for the longest time, you know, and again, it was not having. And you have in one ear Satan telling you, oh, it's normal, and and trying to rationalize in your brain, oh, you know, this is not that. Oh, can I really find a scripture? You know, can I really, you know, is it really in there? Have you, you know, does it really say don't look at pornography, you know? And, you know, and a lot of times, no, the Bible doesn't specifically say don't look at pornography, because at that time there was no such thing. Well, there was no such thing as pornography back then. And so, of course, it doesn't say anything, but there's enough scriptures that imply it that with lust and everything else. And that, you know, again, when you're struggling with it and that's the voice in the back of your head and you don't have another voice, specifically a lot of times a person telling you, you know, that's stupid. You know, that's stupid to think that way. Again, it's easy to start listening to this because it makes you feel better about yourself. It makes you not feel as guilty. It makes you not, you know, feel like you're a bad person for doing it.
It makes you numb.
And that's a big thing. And I also have here, how did it affect my relationship? Well, I mean, it was to the point of almost ruining my marriage. It was, you know, and again, we look at it, that one specifically being, you know, oh, it doesn't hurt anybody. But it does. It hurts those people around you, even though you don't think it does. It hurts them. And you have to open yourself up and notice that you're hurting your relationships. You're hurting And I've talked about this specifically with lust and pornography, how it doesn't even just hurt your relationships with your family. It makes you numb, and science will prove it to you. Prolonged pornographic consumption will numb you to, what's going on, and you end up wanting more, and you end up, looking at women as, as an object, as a piece of meat, as and not for what God intended. Women are, beautiful creatures that are supposed to be loved and cherished and taken care of. And then you look at pornography and it treats them the exact opposite. It treats them as nothing, that they're no better than, a piece of meat. And, and it, people don't look at it that way. And people don't think about it that way. And when you think about it like that, it makes it so much easier. Again, and as having, if you have kids, specifically if you have a daughter, thinking about, that person is somebody's daughter. That's somebody, as a father, you should look at that and be like, man, I would, what if that was my daughter? Would I want somebody to be treated? Would I want my daughter treated that way? And a lot of times, again, we become numb to it. Now, y'all talked about y'all's addictions, but, and you've really talked about how it's affected your relationships. Steve, how had your addiction affect your relationship?
It ended my first marriage because I was unfeeling, uncaring. All I thought about was I'd get drunk and I'd get high. And it also took away all my good friends. I had friends that were good people, and they shunned me because of what I was doing and who I was becoming. And I got to where, cool, I'm okay with that. And now, I spend a lot of time alone, and my circle of friends is very tight because, I'm not going to open myself up to everybody. I try, and I'm working on it, but like you said, you get to feeling like you can't share this with somebody. Well, let me tell you can. Because, other people are going, they're walking the same walk. They felt the same things. And, but, as soon as you find out that you're not unique, that others have felt this way and they've conquered it and they've made the turn, and, it makes a big difference. You can help a lot of people just by being open about things and not feeling the shame. From your addictions. My addictions was drugs of any kind, every kind, the alcohol, cigarettes, lust, all of it. I've done the whole gambit. And it's if it weren't for God, I'd be lost.
I just thought about we didn't put on there him talking, then you talking. So if we have people out there that's listening to the podcast and they're going through some kind of addiction, Brother Steve, I think you would be better to answer this question. Why are folks per se, if they do know that they have a problem, why are they afraid not to reach out to anybody?
That's easy. It's the shame. You don't want to feel that shame of being less than because of what you're doing. I worked a hotline for so, and I talked to a lot of people, and it made a big difference when you're talking to them to let them know that, hey, you don't have to be ashamed of this. It's not everybody, but there's a lot of us. And honestly, I think talking to somebody makes a big difference, and having that that commonality where you don't feel like, you know, you're the only one alive that feels this way.
Yeah.
I was shocked and amazed when I found out that. And it made a big difference.
Yeah. Well, I think it leads back to our first stumbling block. And again, we talked about this in that podcast, that how pride.
Yeah, I was about to say pride.
Yeah.
And I think the pride aspects of it would be that we are afraid to tell anybody about it because the trust issue,
sure.
That the pride aspect of it, that somebody's going to use it against us.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's hard.
Yeah.
And it's hard because there are people out there that's going to use it against you.
Yes.
And you know, there's nothing wrong with that thought. And as in, like, it's the truth. Somebody might use it against you. What you have to get to the point that a lot of people don't get to is you have to trust God. You have to trust God that even if somebody uses it against you, it's not going to affect you. That you, it's not, again, the Bible tells us that. There's scriptures that says that we don't have to feel ashamed anymore.
Yeah.
We don't have to hold on to that shame that, okay, let somebody use it against me. I mean, all it's going to do, think about it. Somebody uses it against you. You used to be a drunk. You used to be a drug addict. You used to be addicted to something, or you are addicted to something. So they're gonna tell everybody. What does that make them look like?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to use your personal problems against you.
Well,
that really makes them look. And it makes them look
stupid.
Yeah, it makes them look like scum. Yeah. It really does. Like, you're going to use somebody's personal problem for your own gain. You know, and that's what people don't realize is that.
Here's the thing. So they have pride.
Yeah.
That person that's using that against you,
yeah.
They have pride.
Yeah, and I don't think people realize that if they use it against you, again, I mean, you think that's going to take people, you know, you don't think people are going to understand you. You don't think people are going to, and that's the big thing. You don't think people are going to understand, but there's so many people out there that are struggling with their own demons that when you come out and say it, they're not going to, you know, they're not going to be hateful to you. They're not going to treat you different. In most cases, they're going to be understanding and want to help you. And I think that that's where trust has to come, that, you know, some people are going to use it against you. Some people are not going to be great about it. But the problem is those people are going to get justice.
Somebody's going to get eventually. Them too, or God's going to, you know, deal out the justice.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good subject to bring up. Some people don't understand that.
Well, you know, personally, it can't hurt me with my past.
Yeah.
I have come to terms with it, and you know, it's made me who I am. It's also helped me to find my way to God. So, you know, I mean, I don't care. Mm-hmm. You know, what can you do to me that I haven't already done to myself?
Amen.
Exactly.
Amen. Okay, number five. And again, we've kind of really hit on this on each one of us. How have you overcame your addictions with God's help? Steve has talked about, you know, talking to people, you know, having somebody to hold you accountable, and finding the right person to hold you accountable. Don't, you know, there's a lot of bad people out there that are not good accountability partners. They might be the same ones to join you. So finding someone who's going to, and a lot of people are not going to want to hear this. Find somebody who's going to call you and, you know, going to tell you you're dumb when you're doing it, or they're going to call you out on it. They're going to say, you know, that was dumb. You shouldn't have been doing that, you know, because, you know, when someone just kind of tickles your ears, it's not going to help you. You know,
when I was younger, that cost me my friends, my new friends, because they would tell me I was being stupid and I needed to stop. I said, yeah.
And, I mean, Ted, he talked about how, you know, he had a miraculous healing. Now, it doesn't, you know, take away the everything. You know, he still, you know, with struggles. But, you know, in some cases, that's what happens. And I've talked about, again, mine to a certain extent was it's just a continuous relationship with God. I mean, that's just really all there is to it. You're not going to overcome it by yourself, you know.
And you have to be willing to lay it all down. You got to be willing to tell God that I need you. I need your help. Please, you know, take this and you deal with it. I trust you. You can deal with it.
And not take it back.
Yeah. And it'll help. And it does. And
yes,
there's going to be those that still struggle. And I promise you, there's plenty of them out there that are, that, you know, that they're still going through. Mm-hmm. Now, the last question that we have on here, number six, is what advice would you give someone who still struggles with addiction? And I would say, don't give up. I mean, put it in one word, in one sentence. Don't give up, because it's going to be so easy to try to give up. You're going to give in a little bit. You know, you're going to say, you know, and the devil's going to try to tell you, oh, you're an alcoholic. Oh, you thought you were clean. Well, oh, look at that. You've had a beer, and, you know, oh, just go all the way. You know, just keep doing it. You know, you've already messed up. You might as well just keep going.
Right.
You know, and my thing is, don't give up. You know, even if you find yourself, you know, one beer in, you can still stop. You can still turn to God. You can still not go the rest of the way. And I'm telling you, and scripture will back it up, there is something about that. And people talk about this. That is one way to praise God, is to, in the moment, when you're going through temptation, when you're by yourself, nobody's watching, and you're able to resist the devil, resist temptation through God. Again, how much of a, there's nothing you can say that it's me, there's nothing, there's nobody around, there's nothing to take away, you know, what you get from it. And it's just praising God. And it's what a lot of people, and worship. Again, that's a big one. It's worshiping God when nobody else is watching, when nobody else can call you out and say, good job. It's just strictly you and God and overcoming sin through Him.
Yeah. Like Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Exactly. You
know, that's my thing. And I think about it a lot. You know, I just need to make sure I trust God enough not to pull it back.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's human nature, is once it's under control, I got this.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's really, He's got this.
Yeah. So, Steve, what's your advice? What's your advice to someone who's still struggling?
Well, I would advise someone struggling to find someone to talk to, like we were talking about, who has beaten the same addiction. Or, you know, that God is lightening that addiction towards the end of the world. I found talking with God and, you know, I found out that talking to someone about God, like a coworker, that's how I found church. That's where I found a family that accepted me and adopted me right out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they didn't look at me and, you know, I wonder or what he's done. You know, it was just, you know, I still have urges from my addictions. I don't act on them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to be honest. You know, I can have a drink or two, but I don't go and get plowed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the drug world has gotten so mutated since, up, you know, in a different time. And the stuff they've got out there now will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the stuff they had out there when I was out there would kill you, you know, but I guess we weren't as, you know, a lot of us weren't as that dumb, you know. But then again, at the same time, we were pretty dumb. You know, we done all everything that we could do. But honestly, my advice is just to find somebody you click with and share what you're going through, because you'll find out that chances are the person you're sharing it with, because you have that connection, has gone through the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just
there's a lot to be said for finding out that you're not different.
Yeah.
You know, that many people are just like you.
Mm-hmm. And finally, Ted, what's your one, let's just say your one sentence advice for us?
It would be, you need to let go of your pride and humble yourself and admit that you have an issue.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't do that, if you're in a relationship, that other person is probably watching you and they're suffering and they don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to come a time, just like I had, that loved one is going to hopefully leave you.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, that's when you need to come to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That was the best thing. And I think, you know, I'll give you a little background on the situation with me and my wife. She doesn't mind me telling it because we're helping people. Is that I had gotten to the point of I thought I was smarter than her, which was a mistake. Was that I was trying to hide it. I thought I could handle it. But it was hurting her so bad with her traumas that she had to leave. Self-preservation on herself. When we got back together, it took, you know, her some time to forgive herself, she said, because she loved me. But I told her, I said, you know, that was God's ultimate plan. He had that all planned. I mean, it took you leaving me for me to come to that. You have to,
something has to tear you down to the very, very
so door. I told her, don't you ever regret what you did. That was mm-hmm. the best thing. You probably saved my life. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, or I would have kept drinking. And, yeah, I would have kept drinking.
Yeah. Well, so, again, addiction is not a problem that you have to deal with alone. There's God. There's people around you. And we know, all three of us, from experience, that trying to do it yourself ain't going to work. And you've got to admit that you got a problem.
You're fooling yourself.
You got to admit you have a problem. Again, like every episode, I want to end by saying we would love to have you church on Wednesday, starting at 6:30 with prayer, 7 for Bible study. Saturday, we have our Bible study together where we're going through discipleship.
Great Bible study on Saturday.
And we'd love to have you there for fellowship. Sunday, starting at 9:20 with prayer, 10 o'clock for service. And we'd love to have you there. A wonderful church family that truly wants to see what's best for you and cares about you and wants to see, you know, you come to the Lord and have a good Christian walk. Again, on Sundays and Wednesdays, we do have children's church. So if you have little kids and, you know, they can come over here and do children's church so you can enjoy the service and you can listen and learn from it. And then again, just I try to put at the end of it all the, you know, how to reach out to us. If you're ever struggling with anything, don't be afraid to reach out. Don't be afraid to talk to us about it. I mean, my Facebook, you message me, I'm going to answer.
Mine as well.
And if you ever need anything, don't be afraid to ask. You know, and if you're from the Clarksville area and you happen to see me out and about, you know, you can come up and talk to me. I don't care. You know, I'm not saying I'm famous, you know, that, you know, run up to me, but, you know, but if you need anything and you need somebody to talk to, I mean, any, you know, me and Ted, we're here and we want to see you come to God. We want to see you overcome these stumbling blocks in your life.
That being said, I won't pick on Ted today, and I will go ahead and end in prayer. Okay. Dear Lord, we thank you for allowing us to have the ability to do this podcast and the ability to talk about our experiences so that maybe that we can help somebody that's listening. And Lord, we pray for each and every one of them that's listening that is still struggling with an addiction, that needs a healing touch, that needs you there to help guide them through this addiction and let them trust you, let them give it all to you, and let them reach out to somebody so that they can overcome it, because it's a stumbling block for them, a stumbling block to get closer to you. And God, we just praise you and thank you for each and everything you give us, that even in our darkest times, we're a child of God and that we have something to look forward to. And we love you, God, and we love to praise you and worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.